So, Parsha Shlach, we find a few elements about Kavura. We find that Kolev goes to Daven by the more simple Pelin, Hebron, because that's where the Ovis are buried. So we have, maybe this is the first instance where the Torah indicates the idea of being mispalel by the Makam of a Kever. Rashi mentions it earlier that Rachel was buried al emaderech, that when Kleiser goes out to Golis, Rashi pressures by Yechi, Kleiser goes to Golis, that Rachel Menel will come out and be mispalel for Kleiser. It doesn't talk about Kleiser simply being mispalel by Kever Rachel, but rather Kever Rachel, that Rachel, as they pass by her Kever, she will be mispalel for Kleiser. This is what to talk about over there. But here we find the idea that he went specifically to the Kever Ovis to daven that he should not be, he should withstand in his soyan and not be drawn into the chet of the Meraglim. And we also find that here there's a tremendous decree of Kleisel dying in the midbar, which Chazal described that they would dig Kvorim for themselves and then they would stay there, and there would be a basket which would come from Shemayim and say the portion of Chaim and Amesim, that the Chaim should leave, and those which were Nifter would stay there. We do find the concept of Kavura mentioned earlier, Chayasar, obviously. Ravino, the Torah describes at length of Ravino's process of finding a Malkum Kever for Sarimeno. So this is something which is clearly mentioned in the Torah. It's interesting, the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Gemara actually looks for the source of the mitzvah of Kavura, and the Gemara brings the Pasuk, which the Torah says, in a case of a person who was killed by Beis Din, so there's a mitzvah to place him up and to be hung after he's killed, but you should not leave lo shalin niv lo soy al eitz, you cannot leave him hanging overnight. Ki kivortik reno b'yamahu, you have a mitzvah to bury him immediately that same day. So that's true for a person who was killed by Beis Din. So we understand the Gemara says that it applies as well to everybody else as well. There's a mitzvah of kavura. Just go through some of the lachas of the basic kavuras, not so much the lachas of kavura, but the lachas of the basic kavuras, etc. So the Gemara has different names for the basic kavuras. The Gemara in different places refers to the basic kavuras as being the Beis Olam, the Beis Achayim, Beis Moed L'Cholchai, Beis Almin, so different names where the Torah describes how we're supposed to look at the Makam of Kavura. The Gemara talks about in Sanhedrin that there was two sections in the Beis, the Beis in whatever place they would bury the people that they killed. And there was two sections. The Nisrafim and the Niskalim were buried in one section, and the Nerogim and the Nechnokim were buried in another section, because you can't bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik. The Gemara says, well, you should grace a Tzaddik. He was killed by Beis Din with Chenek. Yeah, but the Gemara says it's not the same level of punishment as the person who was killed by Beis Din for Skila. With Skila, it's a higher, Skila is a more chamer d'aveira. So you can't bury even different levels of Rishoyim next to each other, because compared to this Rasha, he's not so bad. So it's inappropriate to bury a Rasha next to quote unquote a tzaddik. So Kal v'chomer, we're makar on that issue. Yes.
Were they actually buried there, or were they sort of catacombs? Would they remove the bones afterwards? Was that permanent burial?
That was permanent burial. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is mentioned the Gemara over there that after everything would decompose, that would act as a kapora. Then the family could take it if they wanted and move them to the family plot. We'll touch on that maybe. So the Gemara then takes this. The halacha takes this concept that we can't bury Jews amongst non-Jews. So there has to be a separate section for the Jews to bury. They cannot use the regular cemetery, non-Jewish cemetery.
By religious versus non-religious.
And really theoretically, this should apply to religious versus non-religious. The Tinnish and Nishpa concept plays a significant role in that issue. People who would willfully choose not to keep the mitzvahs knowingly have a dinam mumra, they would not bury them in the regular section of the base of Olam because of this issue of that you can't bury Rosh Eitzel Tzaddik. And the Gemara has certain story. There's not Gemara. There's certain stories post Gemara about scenarios where they buried a Rosh next to the Tzaddik and the results were not good for the city, or etc. So it's not a good idea. Okay. The Gemara in Shmuas talks about the idea of being Kaveya, a Mokim for Kedusha. So there's a process of how to be Kaveya Yerushalayim. A person would like to expand the area of Yerushalayim, which has the Lachas of Kedusha. A person would like to expand the Lachas of a walled city or Tisra, which has certain levels of Kedusha. There's a process how to do it. So the Poskim take that concept and they apply it to the process of consecrating a land, hallowing a land for the purpose of Eisek Horus, since the Mokum has elements of Kedusha to it. There's a process of that. There actually is a process how to be Kaveyah. And once that's true, there it becomes Asa Ba'anor. The law is that a kever is that a mace is Asa Ba'anor. The kever of a mace is Asa Ba'anor. The area which is designated for kever of a mace becomes Asa Ba'anor. Once it's been Hazmon and Milsehi, that once you've done a process of being Kaveyah, this all becomes now, that's only places where people are going to be buried. The places where people are not going to be buried, they have a road. The road is not always having Hanoff on the road. It's only in the Makam Kavura, which is also Ba'anor. But when they first consecrate the land, they don't know where they're going to be burying people. Any area, any part of it is potentially available for Kavura purposes.
So walking on is not considered Hanoff?
Walking on is not considered Hanoff. You're not, we don't plant trees on Mokum where there's a kever. If there are trees there, the even we don't plant the trees which are produced fruits for sure also, because you can't use that fruit. Even along Yisrak, you don't plant over there. If there are trees there, you're not mokum to remove them. Even though there's to remove a tree for the purpose of burial is mutter, to remove a tree for the purpose of some benefit for the kever would be mutter as well. Even though in general we hesitate about cutting down trees, especially fruit trees. If the tree is growing and the fruits are growing, the tree part of it is not over the kever, so that part would be mutter ba'anor. If you have something which would be some type of a person dealt with a shayla that the only place in the city where hadassim were growing was in the basic forest. So could they take the hadassim and use it for the mitzvah of for dalaminim? But it's growing in the basic forest, it was also b'hanoah. So first thing they said is anything which is growing not directly over the mesim is not also b'hanoah. It's only what grows over the mesim which is also b'hanoah. If the seder would be that even that's the only thing which is available, so you get involved in the sugya mitzvah of the honest, so it's not called being the hana, and therefore it would be mutter to use. But you see that they differentiate between what grows directly over the kever, which is going to be asa ba'anor, and there's actually a mitzvah to you'd have to, since it's asa ba'anor, you have to destroy it, not to come to be the hana from it, and that which is in between. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz dealt with the following the type of a shayla, which one of the poskim quotes Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz's shayla was, there's an issue of being the henna from a mace. So this father had a situation where he was very poor, Nebuch, and his wife gave birth to a child which didn't survive, but it was very, very grotesque, etc. People wanted to see it, so he wanted to charge money to come see the navel. Right, so Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz said that's also, but you can't have the hanoah from it, etc. Okay, right? Yes, you understand the poverty that they live with, that they would go to such lengths. So then the person then took that tshuva. There was a situation where there was, you have somebody. It's a tourist attraction. What they call a tourist attraction. Can you charge an entrance fee? It's the basic chorus. I mean, look, come on, you know, we're Jews, right? You know, we find a monetary opportunity to monetize anything, right? So they quote the Chuvah Rebbe and Eibshitz. That was also, that's called being a hender from. They're not coming to visit the spaces in between the mason, right? They're coming to visit the places of the mason. So that's also. But there are places which actually did it. So one of the Chuvahs spoke about it. He said, the mice said the places in between the mason are mutter ba'anor. So they want people, that's where people are going to walk. So they're charging for the kenisa to the places in between the mason. And that's how you were melamed zchus on the fact that you should, that people did that. The meeker then it's also to do that. Shouldn't do that. There's a chiyuv of shmira that the mason should not be bizoyan. So there's a chiyuv to build a wall around the basic quarters. Interesting psak one of the poskim had was if there is no money available to do that, says better to bury the Mesim not in Tachrichim and save the money from the Tachrichim and use the money to build the wall around the Mesim Chorus. That's how important it is to have a Shmira around the Mesim Chorus, that the Mesim should not be, the animals shouldn't get in, etc. One suggestion which they had was if you would want to cut down the trees in the base of Olam and use it to build a wall around the base of Olam, that's mutter. That's not coming. That's a tzarcha mace. Using the trees for the benefit of the mace, that's not aser b'hanor. So that would be an option. If they didn't have any other option, they could cut down the trees and use the trees to build the wall, to build the fence around the base of Olam. So there's a chiyuv to do such a thing. There's a minig which the place could talk about. They don't find any base, real makor for it in a case where they designate a base olam and only one person is buried there. We don't leave a mace by himself. So until the second mace is buried there, there's two mason together, they're minig to have somebody keep shmira there. I heard this hanhaga lamaisa in Square when the previous rebbe was nifter in the 1960s, so they consecrated an area for Beis HaKavoros and they buried the rebbe there. So till the next person was nifter and was buried there, they took shifts. Somebody would always be there, saying tilim. Somebody would be there in the Beis HaKavoros, not to leave the maze by himself. What's the makor for it? Not clear what the makor for it is. A lot of availus has a significant amount of minhagim. Okay. One of the questions which the Rishonim dealt with already was that the Jews were limited in the space that they were allowed by the Goyim, and their basic chorus was limited in the amount of space they were given by the Goyim. So can you bury Mesim one on top of the other? Or one next, or how much space you have to leave between each other. So there's more about Basa, which Dirshul Adam was learning Nozer now, so touches on it briefly. There's something called Shkunas HaKavoris. So they buried it in catacombs, but the Mishnayos and Masechtas Bava Basra deal with it in the following context, or the Mishnayos and the Gemara. So Bava Basra deals with a lot of the halachas of Mechira, those type of halachas. So the Mora talks about, for example, if I contract with somebody to build something for me and I pay him, so what exactly am I contracting for? So the Mora says, if I contract with somebody to build a bias, we don't make up any details, and he wants to build me a little hut, which is 2x2, so it's not called a bias. There's a minimum size of what a bias is. So if we didn't make any details, he has to make a certain size. So the Mora talks about if we contract to build a Shkunas HaKavoris. So what does it mean? How do you build a Shkunas HaKavoris? The Mora says they would actually have a contract that would dig down and excavate in the wall, underground, these catacombs, these caves, which they would bury, the crypts that they would bury them in. So what do you have to build? So you give him a certain amount of space, the Mora discusses the space. So how many does he have to dig? So the Mora says that the Tanakhama says that that there has to be a space of an amma in between each one. So they would build an open area in the middle, that they would have access to these crypts on the sides, and he would build enough crypts on the side that there was an amma in between each one, which is 6 tefachim. Rishon Gamliel says no, it's called a fiasela, depending how strong the earth is. If it's a very, very strong rock, So you can have less space in between. If it's something which is dirt, you need more space in between, because you can't build it in such a way that they're going to collapse by having multiple kuchim there. So that's the main thing. It should be a something which has a permanence to when it's viable. So the question how we paskin. So then they took this according to the Tanakhama, the shear is 6 tefachim in between 2 mesim. So that's taken to halacha lemaisa, so that when we bury kever al gabi kever, so the pesukim which the rishonim which were discussed, it said you have to have at least a gap of 6 tefachim of dirt in between. So they have somebody bury lower down, they could add dirt on top and open up the kever, make sure there's enough dirt there, or add dirt, whatever it is, make a layer of 6 tefachim, and then put another mace on top of it. The argument being 3 tefachim per side, 3 tefachim to this mace, 3 tefachim to that mace, because there's different lashonos, which is mashma, how much you need. So this was the option which they used because they didn't have another. And there was multiple. Vienna had this. Paris had this. There's an old Beis Olam from the times of, before they were expelled from France. And it was layers. Other places, Frankfurt, all of them, they have this issue where they were buried one mason on top of the other.
I think they're talking about doing it in Har HaMenuchos.
So they do it. They do do it. You know, that's a, not in Har HaMenuchos, not, but there's a place next to Har HaMenuchos, which Har Tabor, whatever it's called, where they're doing that. Because of the same issue. Now, there's a loch of tzion that the Mor says that there's a concept of a tzion on a Mora. So you put some type of a matzeva there. So the primary concept of tzion is mentioned in the Psukim already. The Psukim Yechaz will talk about that after the Mechemes Gog Magog, they would go and they'd be Mitzayan. Wherever there was atzomas, they would be Mitzayan or whatever, mark it off. The primary reason the Gemara says for that is because it was Tumah and Tara. We had to make sure that the Kahanim would not become Talmiyah. People had Truma, people had Taras, Kachim, these other things. So we need to know where somebody was buried. That's the primary concept of Tzion. That's the Mitzad of the Gemara. The Zohar says there's a concept of Mitzad the Neshama, there's a concept of Tzion. So when you're burying Kever al Gabi Kever, so it's one above the other. So in regards to the Chostuma issue, we use one Tzion for all of them. We don't need multiple Tzionim, because the main point is there's Tumah here. When you get involved with the idea of that there's some tikkun for the neshama, we're putting a matzeva there, so you would have to you would have to indicate the mason which are there.
Do you have to say who's here?
I'm saying didn't the Gemara know? Didn't the Gemara just has to? There's the Gemara just has
to, even according to the Zohar, does it have to say who's here?
I don't know. I'm not sure what is that just a minute?
Is there a concept of matzeva in the Gemara aside from tzion?
There's a concept of the chumash.
All you have is matzeva. That tzion and matzeva were pretty much interchangeable. The Gemara says that tzion could be done. The tzion could be done just with seed. The Gemara says they would make a whitewash around the area.
I'm saying our concept of a headstone with marking out for the person or whatever.
So Gary is saying correctly, you find Matzeva's Kores Rachel. The Pasuk says already that Yaakov made the Matzeva indicate where Kever Rachel was. It didn't say anything on it. It just was a stone. But so I know we have a lot of we're outnumbered by Kahanim over here, you realize. very significantly, right? Visiting Beis Olam is not as common for them. There are ways, you know, some Beis Olam are arranged in such a way that it's possible to visit. For Kahanim, you have the issue of visiting is that not only is there a problem going where the kever is, but going with the Dalai Lamas of the kever. They can bury it. I don't know what's still my days in Cleveland. The Kahanim were buried in the first row. So this way, any Kahanim, the outside road, there was an access for the Kahanim beyond Dalai Lamas. The first row was where the Kahanim were buried. Therefore, their children were able to visit. It's not like with the Dalai Lamas, and they were able to, once you get inside the Beis Olam, if the road is wide enough, you don't have a problem. It could be an area which is clearly distinct and it's marked off for place for traveling, etc. There's no issue with Dalai Lamas. You have to be careful for trees is a separate issue. But so it is technically shaykh for Karin to visit a Beis Olam.
Are there times when a person should or should not visit a Beis Olam?
So the Gemara mentions the idea of that there was a time of Sora, they would go to Beis Olam to daven. So there is, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about it in regards to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah Berurah talks about it, that there was a minute to go to the Beis Olam Erev Rosh Hashanah, especially when we call the Beis Olam a Beis Alman. It's a it's a place where we recognize that, that life is limited. So for Yom HaDin, it's an appropriate place to go to. Mishabura talks about the very chabadik issue of davening to the mason, that the mason should help. That's the tefillah, that's Dorish al HaMesim, presents a daven b'schus of those which are buried there, not to the mason itself. Obviously, you know, many people did have the nuskos of davening to the mason, to ask the mason to intercede, and that's a whole sugya of discussion, which I don't want to get involved right now, whether that's mutter osur. Okay, but it is brought down in the Hebrews Rosh Hashanah. It's brought down that they visit the Beis Olam every Rosh Hashanah. In Tisha B'Av, they would visit the Beis Olam and Tisha B'Av, not for tefillah purposes, but for the purpose of saying, the pasuk says that Kimesi Erlam, we are put in darkness, Kimesi Erlam, so we feel like Mesim, so it's appropriate to go to the Beis Olam. It's not safe for tefillah purposes, on tefillah, just being there and sort of feeling the veil is together with the Churban and the Mokum over there. So those are, that's what's mentioned in Halacha. It's not mentioned in Halacha, halachically, that they have visiting the Beis Olam on the yard side, etc. Many people have that minhag. It is, there are makaris other than the Gemara for that. It's not a halachic issue. But the Gemara in Titus talks about going to Beis Olam at the time of Mitzorah, to daven there. So it means the concept of the Mesimer Mitzara im Betachayim as well. So therefore, it's going to create a schus from the Mesim for Yeshua together with the Chaim as well. Other times you don't go. The minhag is not to go doing Chodesh Nissan. Let's say going to Beis Sora to go to Daven there is actually. The person said that's much even Chol HaMoed, if necessary. Maybe such a thing. I know, just Hanhaga wise, Rishim Reb Chaim Zichron Lebracha, Reb Chaim Stein, but Rebbe Meir Bloch is buried in Cleveland, so he would go to Rebbe Meir's kever on a regular basis. It would be at Sora, some issue, he would go there to daven. That was a curious by him.
Are there any negative aspects of going to the Beis Chaim? Like seeing as negative things that go, it shouldn't be done too much or don't go.
So there is, you know, kabbalistically, there's all these tumah stuff. Like you're going over there, there's klipas of tumah, which are mistabik, and a person who goes there, if he's not roy, a person is tumah himself because of carry, a woman who's a nida shouldn't go. They should tire themselves before they go. Bechlal, that was al pi Kabbalah, it seems to be discouraged because of this issue of tumah, a klipa joining onto the person. I haven't seen by the literature that there's so machmir on that. Okay, that's enough for now.